you know, in the sea of options today, if you have an unimaginative design and a lack of amenities, it's not going to translate into a unique and memorable experience. Like, I just can't really get it booked, and I definitely can't get it booked at top dollar.
Hi, I'm Wyatt.
And I'm Grace.
And you're listening to Our Dash and your host of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore, and we're back with our Experts Corners. Every Friday, we bring in experts across a lot of realms in the short-term rental world. Today, we're talking to one of our Vodacy members, one of the very successful short-term rental investors and slash property manager, lots of experience in the short-term rental world. Today, we've got Miss Erin Lenhart joining us. So, Erin, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm super excited. We had you, you were in Utah not too long ago, got to enjoy a little bit of a workshop here, but I always like to start with our guest when they're on with the backstory. I love to hear what got you interested in short-term rentals, what paid the bills before that, kind of what led you down the road that we're running down right now, because there's a lot of different things that I want to talk about on the short-term rental side, but I always like to hear what led you here in the first place.
Sure. So for me, it was a happy accident. I was getting my MBA in Chicago, and I was just giving a classmate a ride home from school. And he said to me, "Hey, Erin, my wife and I are going to go to Dubai for Christmas, and we're going to put our apartment on Airbnb. So can you write us a recommendation?" And I said, "What?" Not because he was asking for a recommendation, which I was happy to do. Back in the day, if you didn't have reviews, you could actually write somebody a recommendation. But yeah, because I was like, that's such a good idea. So I had the chance to go to Greece and Turkey, and I was like, I'm going to put my apartment on Airbnb. So that was 2014. And I said, essentially haven't looked back. So it was always kind of a part-time side gig from 2014 to 2019. But I was doing other startups. I was in the food and hospitality space, okay, but consumer packaged goods. I'm living out in San Francisco. And I heard this phenomenal thing from Mark Cuban, which is like, don't, as an entrepreneur, don't follow your passions, follow your hard work. And when I looked back at the previous 5 years and everything that I had been doing, I realized I had never failed to show up for my guests. And it was one of those places that I was consistently willing to put in the hard work. So when it came time to start another business, I knew what I was going to do, and it was hosting. So that's when I went full time, all in on short term rentals.
Awesome. So this is, so you just said a couple things that just immediately like light bulbs in my head go off. Yeah. First of all, you got to see the short-term rental world at a time when most people had no clue about short-term rentals. And it's not entirely true, because from 14 to 19, short-term rentals were gaining steam. They sure were starting to pick up. When I bought my first one back in 2006, and during that time from 14, 15, 16, up until that 18, 19, I remember thinking, man, we're almost going to hit a bubble here. It's like, it felt like it was pretty rapid growth until we saw what happened after COVID. And they were like, okay, that wasn't rapid growth at all. That was like, but it was ramping up during that time. Right. And you said something else that you, when you look back and you said, I never failed to show up for my guests. And so I want to hit on that comment just for a minute, the importance of the business we're in, which is guest experience and hospitality versus the property business. And you've seen that firsthand, but I'm curious, people hear me talk about this like it's a broken record. Like, I'm like, listen, you're selling the wrong thing. We're focusing on the wrong things here. You know, you've got a great property, but you're missing on the experience and delivering on that experience, right? I always say there's three things you have to dial in. Right property, right location. You better have it set up to deliver a unique experience to target audience. But that delivery of that experience comes down to management and the choice you choose in management, and then ultimately marketing. And so you're talking about delivering that experience and what you rolled into as a natural skill set for you. But talk to me about the importance of that.
Sure. Well, it's really simple, right, Sean? Like, all you have to do is deliver a 5-star experience every time.
Yeah.
And of course, like, how you get there is not simple. And I think the key to being in a hospitality business is that you also have to recognize, you know, not only is every home a unit of one, which makes this business complex, but at the end of the day, your guests are also individuals. And so what they care about may not be the thing that the next individual cares about. And so I always think about, how do we deliver hospitality with heart and create that concierge style experience, so that I'm acknowledging you, Sean, right? Why you came here for your children's birthday or your anniversary, and how we make this a special trip for you. So I think the first thing is to acknowledge that there's an individual human, and maybe their friends and family staying with them. And how do you first meet them right there, and then ensure that they have all the things that they need for their stay, which I think starts with first expectations. So when they picked your home, they picked it because you made a set of promises. So you need to ensure that you delivered on those promises, that the amenities are going to be there, that it looks like the photos matches the description. And then the next part is that you need to show up for them in whatever that looks like. And so as a property manager, that might mean being quiet and staying away because they've got everything that they need. But it might also mean like, oh goodness, you know, the HVAC isn't cooling. And even though we have preventive maintenance and an annual plan, we need to get somebody out in the next 2 hours, and we will do that for you.
Yeah. And it's, you know, when you're dialing in that experience, you know, you mentioned another thing that is very unique to the short-term rental world is these properties are a unit of one, and each individual guest is a unit of one. And that's not as that attractive to big institutional style investors, right? And why I believe it's always going to be kind of a mom and pop style business. But then you have individual operators and investors like ourselves who are going in and sprinkling in all the, you know, the top of the line hospitality, communication, and everything else, so that we can really elevate that. And but it's not necessarily competing directly with hotels. Two totally different products, right? Two totally different types of an experience. The hotels are, it isn't a unit of one. It's like, hey, listen, we're going to have a very packaged experience that people can fit into and that works for them. What we're trying to do on the flip side is say, hey, listen, we want to operate in a category of one. We want to compete in a category of one. And we want to try to get away from the commoditization of the business, and which is sometimes the opposite of what we see people doing as short-term rentals have gotten popular and gained steam and everything else, is they try to, you know, compartmentalize or commoditize their delivery of the experience, their communication, everything else, instead of trying to stay in a category of one and operate in a category of one. And you've seen it from 2014 to where we are today in 2025, you know, over that 11-year span, you've seen this business grow up, right? You've seen the tools and the, you know, the way that we can communicate with guests changed dramatically from 2014, right? I'm curious what your thoughts are on going back and sprinkling in kind of the old school, just regular customized old school communication versus all of the automated things that are available to us. Like, how do you balance that?
Yeah. So, I mean, what a great question. I guess the way that I personally balance it for myself, my guests, and then within the business that I run is we do take advantage of automated messaging where it can deliver the information that guests want and need for their stay, but there is no shortcut for human touch and human communication. So being that, you know, I've got a portfolio of about 33 homes that I'm responsible for, including a couple of my own. So I have a 24/7 team, and my team is trained and expected to get back to every guest within 10 minutes. And then also to acknowledge it from that human perspective. So we rely on automated messages to deliver important information that like meets and sets expectations, door codes, here's your guidebook. You know, we're sure you're going to want a refresher on that Wi-Fi code. When it comes to like, what are your recommendations for a restaurant or where can we have a romantic evening? Or we were just curious, is it possible to get more towels? AI and automated messages can never do that, at least at this point.
Yeah. And I think that that's where I totally agree, by the way, 100% agree that there's got to be that human connection, and automations are great. And automations can make our lives easier to deliver the things that there's information they need, door sure. codes, instructions, different directions, different things that are, you know that every guest needs a certain amount of information. It's great for that kind of stuff. The minute that a guest starts interacting with us, none of us want to interact with a chatbot or AI or, you know, a computer. And so if you try to do that, as good as the AI chatbots are today, there's still no replacement, in my opinion, for that human touch. And we try to make it known, like we want them to know, hey, like, this is a real person. Like, I want you to know you're not communicating with an AI chatbot. Like, I want you to know that we're here for you.
Yeah.
And we're going to send you stuff that's automated. We're going to, like, it's almost setting the expectation, one, that they are going to get some things that we're going to deliver through our automations. But by the way, we have a 24/7 concierge team that is here for you, and don't ever hesitate to reach out, right? And making sure that they know that, like, I'm a huge fan of that. I'm curious. It sounds like you are in your business as well. And it's, I think, one of the easiest ways to raise the bar in your hospitality business is just to do a good job communicating, but making sure that communication is really human to human communication.
I think you're absolutely right. And that is why we take the opportunity to really acknowledge what it is that people are saying to us.
Yeah.
Right. And like, yeah, we all need to share information, but like, if you took the time to tell me that you had a really lovely morning run and then a great soak in the hot tub, like, why would I skip over the chance to acknowledge yeah. that and maybe connect with you about that? Yeah. Agreed. And, you know, I think it's so funny, maybe I'm getting old enough that this is kind of ironic now, that we also are taking the time to just pick up the phone and call our guests. And I think that, like, in this weird world we live in, that's pretty unusual. So to take the time to connect human to human, I think it goes a long way.
Yeah, for sure. So as we talk about this, and I think we both agree the importance of it, the biggest question for somebody maybe listening is, how the heck do you do it? If I don't want this to turn in, you got 30 plus properties and you're doing it, you said a 24/7 team that's doing this, you know, how are you layering in the management of all the communication and having that human touch all at the same time?
Well, I guess I'll say this, Sean, it's not easy. I've spent some time thinking about, like, what does it mean to scale a short-term rental business? And I think when it comes to scaling lodging, pretty easy proposition. But when it comes to scaling hospitality, now we're talking about something hard. And that actually makes me excited, because I don't want to do the easy things in life. I think anything that's worth doing is hard. So I think, you know, hey, I'm the CEO and founder of my business, but I think the most important role that I actually play right now in my business is the one that holds the line on excellence, because I just really believe in it. We talk about hospitality with heart, heroic hospitality, love and care when it comes to both the homes and the way that we talk to our guests. And the great news is that I have a team that also values those things. We had to make sure to hire for it, but I'm regularly doing inspections on, you know, what was this communication like? Did we deliver on our promises? And then taking the opportunity, if it's needed, to go back and do a little bit of retraining. It takes daily focus.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's not, all the things we're talking about are fairly simple. They're not overly complicated. It's not rocket science, but it's not always easy. Like what you're saying, it's like it's taking daily focus, making sure that those are priorities, making sure that you're staying on top of it and you're diligent about it. And there's a reason that I don't manage my own properties, right? There's a reason I hire people like you to make sure that, because you're good at it. And you, you know, like you said, what do you work hard at? What are you good at? And really creating and delivering that experience is what you're really good at. And so dialing back to 2014 and getting into this game, and your friend had that conversation, and then you started saying, hey, man, maybe there's something here. Maybe I should do that when I go on vacation. And it led to what it led to today. And you decided to, in 2019, jump into the game, you know, and saying, hey, listen, I want to jump into this and do this more and more. Did you jump in first as an investor, or did you jump in first as a property manager? And walk me through that, kind of navigating that decision where, hey, I'm going to, you know, pay my bills in this world. I'm going to build a business around hospitality and helping people dive into the short-term rental world. Or did you get more interested in as an investor building your portfolio, and then it rolled into that?
Yeah. So to answer your question, I got started with lease arbitrage, which okay. I think most people here yep. know what that means. Mm-hmm. And it was in the wonderful and expensive city of San Francisco. So okay. in 2019, I brought on 14 homes within about 8 months, built the business to over $1 million in revenue. And it was a fantastic business until it wasn't, which was COVID about 8 months later. And so that I had the chance to take the business down, gave some critical thought to that business model. And I realized, you know, I had a lot of overhead, about $60,000 in liabilities to pay all those leases and the utilities, et cetera. And I thought, you know what, this maybe isn't such a great business model. I wonder if there's a way maybe we could do a revenue share. And then I kind of had to take a step back and laugh. And I was like, oh, that's called property management. So I relocated myself to North Carolina because, as I'm sure you remember, a lot of folks will remember, the big cities were decimated, but the drive to markets started going gangbusters. So I started paying close attention to what was happening in the Appalachian Mountains, and took myself to Asheville, and in 2021 got my real estate license and picked up my first property management clients. So it was sort of a meandering way to get there. And started, I guess you could say, capital light. And now I have a couple homes of my own. But the bulk of what I do is manage for other people.
Yeah. And it's okay. This is awesome. And I love that you've had experience with the arbitrage model. And we'll talk about it co-hosting in just a minute versus property management. But it was, I'm not a huge fan of it because you still do liability. You still do have these obligations. You've got, you know, you have lease payments, which are, you know, equal to us as investors thinking about mortgage payments, right? But I don't own the property. Yeah. Like there's no like benefits of the ownership model. And
that's right.
And I think that, to me, I've never been attracted to that model, but there's a lot of people who got introduced to the game that way. And I think that, you know, I'm sure you still learned a lot during that, and you learned what works and how you can make it work. And like, you're in your mind, you're like, hey, listen, there's a lot of this that works, but how can I do it as more of a rev share model with the owners? And it's a win-win for both of us. And ultimately that's property management, right? And now it's co-hosting, and a lot of people say co-hosting, but there's still a lot of, you know, you're a licensed, like most states, you have to be a licensed property manager, licensed agent to be a property manager, right? Yeah. And I think that that's overlooked a lot online, to say, hey, listen, just go be, you know, because there's a lot of unlicensed property managers operating right now as, you know, and if they're not set up correctly as co-host. Now, co-hosting, I know, is a viable option for people, but it's not the same as being a licensed property manager. I'm curious what your thoughts are on that, since you took the time to actually go get licensed as a property manager.
Sure. I mean, I can see the validity in both services. I do think that there should be a line there that often gets blurred. The reason that I'm a property manager, and I think I learned this even in arbitrage, is that I prefer to have 100% control over the guest experience, because that's how I'm going to win. And so even though, and Sean, you have some great points about how owners and property managers should interact, and you know, what is the role of each of us, I don't want anybody to be confused about like who's responsible for housekeeping, or when or how or what time supplies get delivered, or like who cleans this pool. Because if all of my contractors aren't delivering exactly right on time all the time, we just failed our guests. And so for me, I can't have any other cooks in the kitchen, because if I'm going to deliver that 5-star experience, I need to know that all that these series of things that all have to be delivered exactly right on time, every time, that it's going to happen, and that I have the authority and control to retrain or let people go. I do sometimes have conversations with owners where they'll tell me, hey, I was thinking like maybe we could just hire you for a little bit because I just want to learn how to do this. And I wanted to watch all of your messages. And, you know, like I'm going to clean sometimes. And to them, I'll say, you know, like we're a full service A to Z solution. We're going to put you in a passive income role. But if what you're truly wanting to do is learn how to do this, or even maybe have a supplemental income or maybe another job, perhaps you'd like to hire a co-host to collaborate with and accomplish your goal of learning how to do this. So I think for any of the owners out there, I think the first step is just to get really clear on what kind of relationship you want to have with your rental. And I'm sure that's a conversation you have with folks all the time.
Yes, absolutely. And I think you said it really well right there. What kind of a relationship do you want to have with your rental? Right? Do you want the rental to be a side hustle? Do you want the rental to be another, you know, a job? Maybe it turns into an actual job. Maybe it turns into an actual business. Or do you want it to be a passive investment? Those are all, you know, when you answer that question, I love that. I'm going to steal that from you, by the way. I'll give you credit when I say it, but it's like, what kind of relationship do you want with your rental? Right. And then it helps you make those decisions of how you're going to set these properties up. And on the management side, that's a huge, huge decision for any investor is what am I going to do on the management? Am I going to manage a property? Am I going to try to do kind of a hybrid approach and work with a co-host or work with a, you know, a hybrid management partner? Or do I want to hire somebody like Aaron that says, hey, listen, we're an A to Z solution and we want to be able to be in control of the customer experience. And that's what I choose on all my properties. And that's the road that we run down, because I don't want a side hustle. I don't want a second job. I want to have a portfolio of properties that I own, that I make money with, somebody else manages and does a better job than I could ever do, because that's what they do. And ultimately, my relationship with my properties is I use them when I want to use them. I look at the P&Ls when I need to see if we're making or losing money, right? And so, but at the end of the day, I always say, and I do think the line gets blurred on expectations between property owners, property managers. So let's talk about that a little bit. In fact, I just had a conversation inside of our Empire Club group today and said, you know, I think that after going through Sean's training and going through the marketing and understanding this stuff, I feel like I'm going to have a lot of conversations and training of my property manager on how to market the property. And when you read that or hear something like that as a property manager, you're just like, your eyes have got to go back in the back of your head. Like, oh, please don't, you know, like that's not what we need. And I, as investors, especially new investors, you read all these different things that we're going to do and what we do on the back end of marketing. And that's not really what it's about. What people are missing here is our job as an investor is to deliver the best possible property, the best possible setup and design and everything else to a property manager to deliver an amazing experience every time and use that property to deliver that experience. But we set up that experience. We're going to pay for the experience. You can't take my property, Aaron, and I shouldn't expect you to go furnish my property or spend the money that I'm going to spend on artwork or lifestyle photos and the marketing assets and everything else, because it's expensive. And it's not your property. Why would you invest, you know, lots and lots of money to do that when it's not your property? Well, you're not going to do that. So my job is to set you up in the best possible position by delivering a great property, furnished amazing, set up to create a great experience for a specific target audience, and then have everything you need. And so when I give you that property and I deliver that to you, you've got every asset you need to go deliver an amazing experience every single time. And I just stay out of your way. Right. And I tell people that's going to do 95% of the heavy lifting on the marketing side. Yeah. Right. And whether you know fancy marketing or not fancy marketing, if you have a crappy property and it's not set up and it's not designed, and it's not furnished correctly, you're dead before you start.
That's right, Sean. It's gotten to the point where, and it may be even more than this, but I'm turning down 9 out of 10 homes because I just know that we're just not going to be able to deliver results that our owners are going to be happy with. Right. And it's not for a lack of expertise, and it's not going to be a lack of effort. It's just that, you know, in the sea of options today, if you have an unimaginative design and a lack of amenities, it's not going to translate into a unique and memorable experience. Like I just can't really get it booked, and I definitely can't get it booked at top dollar. So yeah. What you just described to me is my ideal client. And I do have a lot of really wonderful owners, and some of whom have taken the steps to proactively invest in design and some amenities. But I often have conversations with our portfolio owners where they'll say like, you know, Aaron, like we really want you to bring us more money. And I'm like, I would love to bring you more money. And I can't do that unless we take a closer look at your amenities and figure out like where you're sitting in the comp set. So I do, as a property manager, I do a little bit of that work. We'll go and like pull comps, figure out what the top homes are in the market, you know, how and why they're standing out a little bit better than our homes. And on occasion, we do go down that path to say like, listen, you know, the top 15 homes all have a hot tub and that's what you're missing here. So if you'd like to boost your revenue by another $20,000 to $30,000 a year, depending on the market, that's a place to invest. But I really appreciate that you're educating owners on that front, because I think at the end of the day, you're right. It is the owner to deliver the best possible asset, at which point my job becomes to deliver that five-star experience every single time.
Right. Exactly. It's like the delivery of that is now like what is key, right? Like I always say, when I hire a property manager and I'm interviewing property managers, I go look at their profiles. I look at their other properties. I want to see how many times they're mentioned in the reviews, because they're mentioned all the time. Hey, Aaron did an amazing job here. Aaron communicated here. Aaron was so awesome with this. And you'll find that really good property managers and and it's almost every property at the top revenue properties in the market.
Yeah.
The guests don't necessarily always talk about the property. They talk about the property manager and the communication and how awesome that person was to work with, because one, they dialed in the human element of it and they made the guests feel important and special. And the property sometimes becomes secondary to that delivery of that experience. But on the front end, that property is all that that guest has to choose from. And like you just mentioned something that I want to put an exclamation point, because I think it's one of the biggest opportunities in this space right now, is you said we turn down 9 out of 10 properties. And because you know that they're just going to be nice properties in an area that are blending into the crowd. And it's the reason I think that's an opportunity is because so few owners are willing to do what it takes to operate at the top of the market. So the top of these markets are very, it's a wide open opportunity, because you're not competing with that many people. The middle of the market is where you compete with everybody, because everybody has the same properties. Everybody has the same furnishings. Everybody has that same setup, and it becomes very commoditized. And the top of the market is wide open with opportunity. And when you look at, like, you run the numbers and you look at some of those amenities, sometimes it's the amenities. Sometimes it's literally just creating an experience and being able to articulate that experience better than somebody else does. And when you're running those numbers and you understand that as an investor, and you go to an investor and say, hey, Sean, I like your property. It's in a good area, but you're going to have to do these things. And if you're committed to doing that, we'd love to be your management partner. But if you're not, you know, you're going to operate in the middle of the market where everybody goes to die. And there's nothing I can do to help that. If you're willing to help yourself, we'll do what we need to then on the back end on the experience, because then, you know, marketing is all about attracting a customer, converting a customer, and then where the money is made is retaining a customer.
Yeah.
Right. When you have a property that can attract and convert, you can make a lot of money for that owner, because you're going to be able to retain them with the experience, and their people are going to want to come back. But the property is not what brings them back. The personalized touch is what brings people back to properties.
You're absolutely right, Sean. And I guess we're doing a pretty good job of that, because what we see is that we do have guests coming back time and time again, and not just to the same house, but they're saying like, wow, this was such a fantastic experience with Aaron and her team, right? Like whether they know it or not, I always make sure to tell my team, they say Aaron, but they mean all of us. And they're like, well, where else can we stay with you? Because you delivered such a great experience.
Yeah. But you don't have the opportunity to retain those customers, get them rebooked, if the property doesn't do a good job of attracting and converting on the front end, right? Because you don't have the ability to get on the phone with guests and book the property. You're not dealing with them until they book. And so it's so important as investors to understand we have to deliver a product that attracts and converts customers. It's not our property manager's job to do that. We have to do that. Their job is to deliver an amazing experience, and then they're going to become an amazing asset on the retention of those customers.
Yeah, you got it right. And of course, the reviews over time, you build up your review base, and then you've also built in the trust. So that is my job, you know, build that review base of incredible reviews that are going to build the trust that then improves the conversion. But at the outset, it's like, you don't know us, you don't trust us. Like, why should you possibly take a chance on this property? And it's because it just needs to look amazing. Amazing and much more amazing than their other options.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, you just had a pretty exciting thing happen on one of your properties, right? You got the show Staycation came in and reached out and said, hey, we want to feature the property on Staycation, the experience that you guys are providing. That's pretty awesome. So congrats on that. That's really fun. We've had a couple of our members inside of our Vodacy family do that. So talk to me about Staycation, what procured that invitation to be on that show? Like, did you have to go do it? Did they reach out to you? When does it air? Talk to me a little bit about that. That's exciting.
Yeah. So, speaking of the value of having an amazing looking property, they found one of our Airbnb listings. So an unusual home in Charlotte, North Carolina that sleeps 16 people, some great design, some extra special amenities. And, they reached out and they said, we would like to feature you on our Charlotte episode. So I got on a call with the casting crew. They decided indeed, I and our home would be a good fit. And so a couple weeks ago, they came out and we filmed my spot on the episode. So it ended up being a bunch of fun. The episode is going to come out in a couple months. And I learned that you probably already know this, Sean, but they just caught me up that Staycation is taking a view on America's top sports towns as an additional hook to try to grow their audience. And I did not know that before I decided to go ahead and enhance this home by throwing in a disc golf hook, which was some inspiration that I got from the workshop we did together. So it seemed totally appropriate to have a disc golf themed home for a sports focused episode, where I believe I'm going to be one of seven Charlotte hosts.
Oh, that's awesome. That's fun. And congrats on that. And it's interesting. Like, just taking action on something like that was where you're like, hey, listen, we're at a workshop. We've got the space. Let's do the disc golf. And it's a fairly, like we were talking about at the workshop, it's a fairly inexpensive amenity to add if you have the space, but a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Because people can go out and, you know, it's something not every home can do it because you don't have the space to do it. But if you have the space to do it, it's a lot of fun. And then ultimately it really kind of layers on to, was that, what did you have that in place when they saw the property and made the invite? Was that amenity in yet? Or was it afterwards that you already knew they were coming and this was kind of an additional amenity?
Yeah. So my thought process on it was, being on TV seems like an incredible opportunity, especially because they're going to be throwing a QR code up there to invite people to go ahead and book and stay in this home. And, you know, this kind of goes back to what we've been talking about the whole time, Sean, which is like, a beautiful home is a beautiful home, but like, is it really memorable? Are you really going to choose it over another memorable home? So it turns out, and we talked about this a little in your workshop too, right? You need to think about why people are coming to your particular geography. So I didn't know this. Charlotte is the number two destination in the United States for disc golf. I also got a little bit of a clue along the way because we had people booking this home already for disc golf tournaments. You're right. It's not a big investment. So I pitched the owners and said, let's take advantage of this opportunity and really niche the home in and take this opportunity to stand out on TV and attract an audience that's already coming. So it was a bunch of fun, right? With the macro amenities and the micro amenities without being too kitschy to help disc golfers feel like they were in exactly the right place and that we understood their needs.
Oh, I can't wait to watch the episode when it airs. And so we'll be looking out for the Charlotte, North Carolina staycation episode featuring Charlotte. So we'll, all of you listeners, staycations are pretty fun. I do like the show itself. It is fun to watch. It's fun to see all these different properties and what people are doing. And so I can't wait to see yours on there. So congrats on that. That's fun.
Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, listen, Aaron, we're kind of getting to the end, we're kind of wrapping up. I want to always leave you with the last word. And one of the questions I ask at the end of all these episodes, as you've been doing this for a while and you've seen this, you know, grow up, there's a lot of changes that have happened in short-term rentals. If you went back to yourself back in 2014 and you were diving into this game, is there something that comes to mind that you would give yourself as a piece of advice, whether it's short-term rental related or not, that you could tell your younger self that you learned now that you didn't know then?
What a great question. And I feel like I could answer it in so many ways, but I suppose to go back to my younger self, I would have said, start buying investment homes sooner. Right. I think that's to your point. There are a lot of different ways to play in short-term rentals, but when you own the asset, there's so many different benefits that can accrue to you. And, I think that's now my favorite way to play in this space.
Love it. And it is, the longer you're in a specific game and you watch other people making a lot of money that were buying properties, like, man, I should have bought then. Yeah. Like, we're always saying, man, I wish I would have bought that back then. Right.
Yeah.
And, on the ownership side, that's a very common piece of advice is stack those assets sooner, right? Yeah. It never really feels like a good time, right? Yeah. It doesn't matter how much money you make, how little money you make. It never feels like it's the perfect time to be buying. And I just always say, listen, those assets, if you look at it through a longer time horizon and a lens of looking at the future in a 5-10 year time horizon, the ownership of these assets is the biggest needle mover in your wealth building journey, way more than the cash flow, way more than paying the bills with, you know, some of the cash flow side of it. But yeah, owning these assets can be a big needle mover when it comes to building wealth long term.
Exactly. Yep. So thank you for all the work you're doing in this space to help people with that.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. Yeah. It's so much fun. I get to meet people like you and be around people like you all day long. And so it makes it easy. I always look in the mirror thinking, do I really have to call this work? Like, even, you know, we put in a lot of hours and we're always working, but I love it. Like, I never have visions of sitting on the beach sipping Mai Tais, I guess. I just, I don't mind that for a short periods of time. You'll go on vacation, but this game has been really good to us, but a really fun space to play in and being able to be a part of so many people's journey. And so I know there's a lot of people listening to your story, and I appreciate you sharing it as well. I know, sometimes we don't think we have, you know, that big of a story to tell, and you've got a lot of experience. You're making, you know, what you're doing in the Charlotte market and what you're doing, helping other people understand this game and walk into this game with their eyes wide open, being honest with people. And I love that about you, Aaron. When I talk to you, and we didn't get into a ton of it on this conversation, but I've had enough conversations where you're really out there trying to educate owners as well. And you're really trying to help them walk into the game and setting them up for success. And you're doing your part to help them with that success, but also being honest with them, not just telling them what they want to hear to add another property to your portfolio. And that's really, really important in the property management game specifically, because so many property managers will say whatever they can to add a property to their portfolio. And you don't do that. And I love that about you. And I appreciate that about you.
Thanks, Sean. I think it's really important, right? All the best relationships. Everybody makes money and all of your incentives are aligned. So
yeah,
that's, I 100%. Think you got to get it right from the start.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, guys, listen, we're going to wrap it up. I know if you listening, your time is valuable. We appreciate you always spending it with us, and we hope you got value out of these episodes. I always ask you a couple favors at the end, because we don't run ads or sponsorships. The only way the show grows is if you guys enjoy these conversations and you think about sharing it with other people you think would enjoy these conversations. Our goal is always to help you walk into the short-term rental game with your eyes wide open, which is why we invite people like Aaron on to share their experience, the good, the bad, the ugly, and sharing every piece of advice we can to help you win at the short-term rental game. So if you like the show, share it. If you have more than 30 seconds, like it or review it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. And the final most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode is pick that one thing you can do today to start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey Grace, is there a website?
Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.